Hey, beautiful people. That's right. It's episode 50 of Off Color Cast. Good God, I don't remember the intro. This is a segmented. This one isn't going to be segmented, though. This is a segmented podcast where we talk about the serious, the aggressive, and the awesome of EDH or Commander. Hey, it's Chris. What do you know? I like to, well, I'd say I like to play EDH, but I haven't played in probably 9 months or something. I could have had a child by the time I last played a game of EDH. But I do still like being a butt, so we got that. I have two very, very special guest hosts with us today. Let's start off with our one guest host here, and that is Cassidy. Why don't you say hi to everybody, Cassidy?
Yep, the guest host with the most. Yeah, it's been a while since we recorded. Not really much has changed. There is now a Cassidy Silver article going on in the TCGPlayer.com newsletter. So I got a pretty good raise to write 300 more words a week, so I'm happy. And there's Gamers Link Chicago, you know, in my store. That's where I'm podcasting from right now. And,
how's your book doing?
I probably could kind of put that on the side a little bit. I haven't had any time to work on it because I've been broke. Yeah. But, yeah, I've been working on it a little bit here and there, but I'm here all day, and then I got, like, fucking night jobs and stuff. For me, I'm tired.
Yeah.
Thanks for asking.
Well, I mean, episode 49, we talked about your book. It's only one episode since then. Even if that one did come out June 28th.
Yeah.
All right, I've got another host for you guys. I don't know if you've heard him before, but he's my own little nugget of hidden information that I like to keep to myself. It's my friend Calvin. Why don't you say hello to everybody?
Hola, mi amigos. Me llamo Calvin, a.k.a. Capitan Zona del Rajo. Let's see.
I didn't work very well.
I tried. I had it written down, but I got lazy and didn't feel like finding the paper where it was written. Hey, everybody. It's me. It's Captain Red Zone around the internet. You know me. You hate me. Everybody does. The aggressive player usually plays red. Let's see. Any other things I can say about myself real quick? Yeah. Member of Off Color Cast. Currently the guy who kind of runs around and does the best that he can not to curse while on other shows.
Yeah. All right, so since it's been forever, why don't we just talk about what we've been doing? Cassidy, yours is probably the most boring, so why don't you start?
Oh, boy. Okay. excuse me. Yeah, I mean, the last time, we actually did record in episode 50, but it was terrible.
Yeah, it sucked.
Yeah, it was bad.
I don't think Calvin was in it either, was he?
Yeah, he was.
Then
Goudonks came in halfway through, I think.
That's right.
Yeah, and I was really drunk, so. I didn't mean to get that drunk, but I drank a lot of scotch, apparently, because I was pretty drunk. Since then, mostly just been working at the store, you know, trying to get magic going. I do have two articles a week now, so that's pretty cool. I actually haven't changed my EDH decks one iota. I still play the same ones. Like, actually, Boba Rigmos is probably my favorite deck right now. Besides that, it's all same shit, different day for me, man. Because it was pretty boring, huh?
Well, you got, like, the real job and everything, so, you know.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
And taking up a lot of time. Calvin, what have you been doing?
Well, if Cassidy is the one of us that has the real job, I'm the one with the fake job. And that job basically is that, you know, in the absence of EDH podcasting, I've kind of just floated over to the other main Commander show, Commander Cast, as a co-host / show editor. That's right. I've gotten to the point now where I can pretty much like edit, record, and do all this other stuff to the show and add in sound effects and cheesy music. And
doesn't
I've even gotten rid of the old. Actually, I kind of enjoy it, strangely enough.
Really? Because I despised it.
it's one of those things where like it's like I've actually like really gotten into like doing it, and I've really like just enjoyed it. And it's like my main thing for me is like playing around with Audacity. I get to learn all these new little tricks and trades of it and stuff, and how to cut this out and shorten that up. And it seems like just about every episode that I do of Commander Cast, the next week I learn something new that makes each episode sound slightly different or better than the previous one or worse.
Well,
let's see what happens when I play with this sound leveler. Up, it sounds fine to me. Then I actually post it up, but then apparently it didn't save correctly and everything's not leveled. Or let's play with this noise reducer or play with this. Ooh, what's this and what's this switch? And then I'm kind of just pushing buttons. And eventually, you know, the show pops out of the ether, goes up onto CommanderCast.com. And then I usually get like about like 3 or 4 comments telling me about how much I suck as a person and how much my editing sucks.
Wow.
So it sounds like a lot of people who comment on Commander Cast are a bunch of racists.
Yeah. I usually just say, you know, the main thing for me, I usually just be like, fuck them, I don't really care. Like, if you're going to talk shit, go ahead, talk shit, I don't really care. I'm still going to keep doing what I'm doing anyway, whether you like it or not, so.
Is submitting to MTG Cast still the same?
Yeah.
They said they were going to change that.
No, it's still exactly the same. Yeah. It's one of those things where, like, MTG Cast is a pretty decent site, but in the same token, I kind of just wish I knew how the hell they were planning on running things at the beginning of last season. Because there was all that talk about MTG Cast shutting down, and then there was that talk about it being sold, and they're just talking about changing the way it's going to be submitted. So I didn't submit anything for like 3-4 weeks or something like that, just to see what the hell was going on. And then by the time I started submitting it, it's like we're like a month done with Commander Cast, but there's still like 4 episodes of Commander Cast that MTG Cast doesn't have.
I mostly asked so that I knew what I'd be doing when I submitted this one. Because it's been so long.
Yeah.
Well, since you love editing and stuff now, I think you should quit Commander Cast and come back here and I can make you my,
bitch.
You can be Steven. Samuel L. Jackson Steven. Yeah, that's true.
Fuck this plan.
Well, yeah. I just got a microphone for Christmas, so I gotta do something with it.
That's true.
It's pretty sweet too. It's huge.
That's why we're doing. That's the main reason why we're doing this because Chris got a new present. Yeah. We're not doing this because like we was like, oh man, it's good to get everybody back together. Now we're not doing like, oh man, I really miss you guys. Nope. Chris got a new mic.
Got a new mic.
And you know, Chris is like, hey, I want to try this puppy out. So now we're on Skype, trying it out.
Well, me and Calvin have podcasted together at least 3 times since then too. So
hopefully, all on Commander Cast.
Yeah, Commander Cast. Yeah.
How's that Rival Duel show?
Chris Abuses comes near me.
I've been meaning to listen to it, but I never did.
That's actually really good,
dude.
It's one of those things.
I heard you call me out there. You know how awesome it is not doing stuff.
Yeah.
Chris doesn't want to be
anywhere
near. No,
I fucking don't know actually.
Yeah. Let me tell you, it's great.
It was like, now he's not doing off color cast. He actually has a second hand free to be able to scratch both balls.
And like, once I didn't have to do the home version anymore, that was another half hour free out of my week.
Now you can go for the taint.
Pretty much.
30 minutes of taint scratching.
I was shaving that today because it really needed it. And
that's hard to do.
It is.
So real question, do you try for like the like foot on the sink and the hand on the floor?
No, it's the bathtub. It's the bathtub. Because I like taking baths anyway, so I figured I'd just finish it up, like, you know. But, like, I realized, like, I hadn't done my balls in a while either. And I didn't feel like doing them. And I'm just like, well, where am I going to stop it? So I just went a couple passes, and it doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
Like, it's just still as bad. And I'm just like, all right, whatever, I'm done with this.
I just use the same trimmer that I use
like,
on
you
my
head. Let's just see how much we can get. Gross.
Oh, that's a horrible image, by the way. Thanks a lot, Chris.
Yeah, it's not the best image.
All soapy in the bathtub and shit.
Nah, I mean, I've rinsed off by that, man.
Oh, okay. Like bubbles, like floating around and shit.
Bubbles with ball hair on them. Well, I guess I didn't talk about what I've been doing. I haven't really been doing a lot. I've been playing video games.
Balls with bathtub.
Been getting on that Hearthstone. Maybe I'll do a show about that.
What's Hearthstone?
It's a digital card game that Blizzard has out in beta right now.
Oh. Cool.
It's relaxing because you can't do anything on the opponent's turn. So like you do your stuff and then you get to sleep for like 2 seconds before it's your turn again.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's nifty. It's better than Soulforge. Like it's a lot better than Soulforge. So, but as far as digital and not to suck a stick too much or anything, but a lot of the digital card games. Like, the packs you can buy with in-game money are usually vastly inferior to the ones you can get with, like, real money. Mm-hmm. But there's only one kind of pack in this, so any pack you get is going to be the same, whether you spend the in-game money on it or the real money.
I guess Blizzard has the money to actually kind of, like, offer it back to the players at this point, right? Like, yeah. World of Warcraft hasn't made them all, like, billionaires at this point.
Yeah, I realize that I have most of the Blizzard games, except I still play Diablo 3. I think it's a fine game, even though everyone bitches about it. But the biggest game I've been playing lately is one called Starbound, which is asininely ridiculous.
Is it a 4X game or what?
No, thank God, because I have 500 of those and I never finish any of them.
Yeah, right.
The 4X games are great. They're great on concept, but if it's not Master of Orion 2, I'm not finishing it. That's all I've really learned. Yeah. But no, it's more like, as bad as it sounds, it's more like Minecraft or Terraria, but it's 2D and the sprites are way better. And the music's
I love Terraria.
Well, was one of the games. Imagine Terraria with but better and with like hundreds of planets. So that each one's as dense as like one Terraria world, but you can keep traveling in between them.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's really great. And you know, a friend of mine and me are probably just going to get a multiplayer server. That way we don't have to worry about running on some shitty computer. Then you can just all stake your own claims and random planets and whatnot and travel around and just not fuck with each other's shit for the most part.
I think I'm going to get a new computer with taxes coming up. So maybe I'll be able to join in that. I'm super behind on the digital revolution. Like playing games online is like, I remember when we had to use dial up LANs and it sucked.
But yeah, that's what I've been playing video games and living the life.
Cool.
All right. So,
we've been gone. One more thing.
Oh yeah.
I've gained like 30 pounds since I opened the store. So that's cool. Fucking belly just keeps getting bigger. I'm like, whoa, go away.
So it's been forever since we've done a show, so of course we should really catch up on one thing, and that's wrestling.
That's right.
WWF pretty much died after SummerSlam. SummerSlam was a great show, and it's just been getting progressively worse ever since.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Slowly going back to 1996, if you will.
Oh, is it going back to... I kind of stopped watching right around then just because I'm never home anymore.
It pretty much has gone from the... Ooh, look, here's CM Punk. Ooh, look, here's Daniel Bryan. Ooh, look, here's The Shield. Hey, look, remember Randy Orton and John Cena? We still have those guys. And we're going to make them wrestle again. And, you know, like, and we're going to put them in this match. I'm going to do this match. I'm going to have them do it for this title and that. And at a certain point, it's like, okay. The only thing of interest that WWE has really been doing is talking about bringing back Batista for, like, the 20th or something like that.
Yeah, Batista.
That's interesting. Come on.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's the closest thing to interesting that WWE currently has to offer.
Yeah. I haven't seen NXT in a while, but you sent me a few ones, Christian. That were pretty good.
Yeah, NXT is still great. I think it's because it's only an hour long. It's really easy to, like, if you focus on wrestling, it's not hard to write an hour long show.
Yeah.
So the matches are good. Mm-hmm. But the biggest thing is like everybody is just so over with the crowd. Like it's not like the Impact Zone where they go to the same place every week and no one cares.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, everybody is invested in all these people and they want them to succeed. Which, I mean, you can't judge you can't see how someone performs on NXT and expect them to be able to do that on Raw or something because the crowds at Raw just aren't as good.
Yeah. Well, they're huger too.
Huger and they're just not going to care the same way that the people at NXT do.
Well, yeah, and, you know, there's a lot of indie guys, and usually that's, like, gets the more, like, people that actually go to shows into it. Like, I really did not realize that was Generico for, like, the first three matches I saw of him. I really should have, because he wrestles a lot like him.
Yeah,
but
he wrestles
like...
a lot. And, you know, he's probably the most over guy there, and he hasn't won a singles match, I don't know, since I've been watching.
That's
like,
awesome.
He keeps getting beat, but it doesn't matter, because everyone, you know, I mean, of course they're going to like him. They had the American Wolves there last week, I think.
Really?
Both yeah. The names they gave him were pretty bad. It was like Jim Cahill, and then Davey Richards was Derek Billington. So they gave him Dynamite Kid's last name.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, he's kind of got the whole... Well, it's better than giving him, like, Chris or something.
Yeah, when they first announced him, they're like, Jim Cahill and Derek Billington, the American Pit Bulls. I'm like, what?
What is happening?
Whoa.
But I bet it was still sweet as shit, though. Those guys are awesome.
Since then, Davey Richards has burned every bridge except for WWE, so...
Yeah.
He no-showed a New Japan thing, and he basically just, like, told Ring of Honor to fuck off, so...
Oh, really?
He's pretty much stuck with... he has to succeed, and WWF is just not going to work for a while.
I've been to two shows that he was supposed to be at, and he no-showed both of them, so... Believe it. I know all about that guy no-showing. It's a pain in the ass.
Chris Hero is back on his triumphant return through everywhere, though.
Is he on NXT again?
Nah, he got let go by them, so he's just been able to grab up indie dates like it's nothing. Because everybody wants to book Chris Hero right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's the only guy left of that whole kind of clique of guys. They're all at WWE now, right?
Except for Steen.
Yeah. Steen is cool. Steen will never get a real job, though, because he's too fat, quote-unquote, but, you know. He doesn't really, it doesn't matter. He can do flips anyways.
He just had a good match at Final Battle.
Really?
They had him wrestle Michael Bennett.
Oh, Bennett, okay.
Yeah, it was a loser can't use a pile driver anymore match.
Oh.
So you knew who was going to win because they're not going to get rid of package pile driver. Yeah. And the other reason I think they did this match is because like a few months ago, Michael Bennett almost paralyzed a guy doing a pile driver off the apron.
Oh, yeah.
So now they do this match, and he can't do pile drivers anymore.
Yeah, how did Rhino get away with doing that every week and not killing people? I don't know.
I was listening to something, and I think... Oh, it was Lance Storm was talking about how to take a pile driver. And he was talking about how Rhino would pile drive somebody's wife through the table, and she was fine. Uh-huh. And, like, Heyman or something was like, how do you do that? And he's like, have you seen the size of my ass?
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. Like, his thighs were bigger than most people's heads, yeah. So...
And that's the same thing, like, I mean, same thing with Steen. It doesn't matter. Like, he's big enough that, like, you're not gonna hit too hard.
And the package pile driver he has tons of control over, too, because he has them balled up, so you can actually, like, kind of hold them in the right angle, you know?
Yeah, and since he's been doing it forever, that's fine, but, like, if you had somebody who didn't know what they were doing with that move, it'd be the worst thing ever.
Yeah, it would be something like Stone Cold.
Yeah.
His career ending. Like, oh yeah, this guy would have been a great wrestler forever, but he took one bad pile driver from a dumbass, and there you go.
Heard Stone Cold cut Owen Hart's spine.
Like you too, I took a pile driver to the face.
Cage of Death just happened. That was stupid looking as usual.
Oh yeah.
I'll
catch it on Botchmania, I'm sure.
Rory Mondo retired. The special guest return was Nick Mondo. Because that's gonna... Man, I mean, I didn't watch the entire pay-per-view. I just watched, like, that bit. And, you know, it's Cage of Death, so of the moves, you saw, like, three suplexes and a DDT, and that's it. And the rest is just dumbass stuff.
Super violent.
Yeah. It was pretty rough looking.
Bunch of mist and moonsaults and shit.
Nobody was really... There was, I guess there was... One guy was on the top of the cage and had a guy on his shoulders, and they both fell down into, like, two tables. And that was a... I don't know. CZW took the wrong part of ECW and went running with it.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, that's what it is. Like, well, it's funny how true that is, because the best part of ECW became Ring of Honor, and the worst part became CCW.
They're both in Philly, so it works out really
well. Yeah, it really split up, exactly. It's really funny. And then Chikara. Chikara is gone completely.
Yeah, Chikara is gone.
Yeah.
I was watching, I hadn't heard of this match, but I was watching, it was like, Minoru Suzuki against Mecha Mummy from, Ultimo Dragon Promotion.
Jesus.
And Suzuki used to do, like, pancrase and stuff, so he's, like, a serious guy.
Yeah.
And he's going up against this mummy with an afro and a huge drill that he has to spin with his other hand.
Jesus.
So the mummy goes after Suzuki with the drill, just puts it in his chest and starts spinning, and, you know, Suzuki just no-sells it. And he just pushes it away. And then he goes to do it again.
You don't
want to
be the remembered as that shit.
And then he goes to do it again, and the ref gets in the way, and the ref acts like he's got a huge gaping hole in his chest.
I'm sure beforehand he's like, if Suzuki doesn't sell it, you better sell it.
They ended up having a rematch, which was even more ridiculous. So if you're ever on the internet's kids out there, definitely YouTube Suzuki Mecha Mummy. And then watch the original match and then the rematch, and you're in for a good time.
Oh, jeez. Oh, boy. Have you guys been watching TNA at all? Like, I don't know anything else going on.
No, but I do want to watch, Tommy Dreamer's been having a, been doing shows up in New York.
Cool.
And, he had a tag match with, Terry Funk against two people, and then they did a run-in, the Dudleys did a run-in to, beat them up at the end.
Cool.
Because TNA is doing those recorded pay-per-views with no storyline or anything. So they did like a hardcore justice sort of thing in New York with Dreamer and the Dudleys and whatnot. And that should be coming out sometime in March probably, but they recorded it this month.
Oh boy, that's pretty far behind to be recording a pay-per-view though.
Yeah, well, they just record them whenever and then put them out whenever.
That seems pretty desperate. I don't know.
TNA is not doing great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't been able to muster up the energy to try and watch Impact.
Yeah, really.
The only thing that I know or that I've recently heard of about TNA is that Hogan's no longer there.
Yeah, Hogan's not there.
Mainly because like his contract's expired, and the rumor, or I'm not sure if it's still a rumor at this point. Well, the concept is that he's trying to do what he can to grease his way back into WWE long enough to be able to make it to WrestleMania 30 before he has a heart attack or a seizure. And between Hogan trying to find a way back into WrestleMania, the only thing that I'm coming across that they're having a problem with it is that no one there can seem to figure out where the fuck or what the hell to do with him. Because no one wants to really put him in a match. But then again, if they put him in a match, they have to find someone who's able to actually still work with him.
You have to put him in a tag match and just have him in for 2 minutes to have somebody run into his fist or something.
Yeah. Although John Cena versus Hulk Hogan could be the biggest bullshit.
You'd have Cena and Hogan tag against, like...
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know.
Cena and Hogan
versus... It could
versus,
be Hollywood Hogan. You know, the old angry Hogan.
Cena and Hogan against Batista and...
Orton, maybe?
Orton will probably have a title match, I assume.
Randy.
I imagine he's still got the belt.
If Orton starts taking bumps from Hogan, too, it'll just demean himself in the eyes of the fans. Like, that won't make sense for the universe.
Like, Randy Orton's entire thing is that he, like, you know, Cena's got all the kids, but Orton has all the, like, wrestling girlfriends.
Oh, okay.
And all the, like, he's just a panty moistener for the most part.
Yeah.
Because he's the douche.
Yeah, I guess that's his thing, because I don't understand Orton at all. Like, why is he popular? He took Diamond Dallas Page's move, and that's about it.
Yeah, he's just got that, and then he's got the draping DDT, which is dumb looking.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, whatever. I mean,
I guess I kind of like that backbreaker thing, though, that he does. That
but maybe they'll have him go against Bryan for the title. I don't know.
Orton and Bryan have been putting on some fairly decent matches in the last few months against each other. You know, prior to Orton getting the title. And, you know, that was all really, you know, well and good and stuff. But, I don't know if I'd actually want to watch that match again.
Yeah. If we knew Bryan would win, then maybe.
Yeah. I was really digging Cesaro, though, like, before I stopped watching. Yeah. I mean, that should be awesome.
Well, now they just have him giant swing everybody they can.
Yeah, it seems like he was getting that way. Like, yeah, he's wrestling awesome now, but how long does that fucking last?
He's really good on... He's still really great on NXT when they just let him, you know...
Yeah, just go to town.
How does he throw people up so high for the European uppercut?
Well, they jump, but...
Well, I mean, he's already holding them, and then he'll chuck them up then, too. Yeah. Like, he'll gut wrench somebody and then throw them in the air and do it, and it's like...
Wow, really? He's doing it from the gut wrench? That's fucking sweet.
I mean, I'd have to look back, but I swear to God he's done that at least once.
That'd be awesome.
He just likes gut wrenching people. I don't know.
I think he just tries harder than everyone, honestly. Like, that's... I think he just uses his muscles much more than most of the wrestlers do during the match. You know?
Everyone sort of has that frame. I only know that because I've been watching Boss Rootin' matches again lately. But yeah, Cesaro is great, and it's just, like, they're probably going to have him split up from the real Americans at some point, I imagine.
Yeah.
He's really been getting over with that big swing in WWE. It got to a point, I think last week before that, they started telling him that he had to stop doing the big swing because he was getting too over with it. You're supposed to be, like, the main character of one of our heel teams, and people are really, like, cheering you on by swinging our, like, faces. Stop it.
It's so dumb, though. They should just make him a goddamn face and realize it.
like when the best was when he swung Kali, because that's going to be a very, very difficult man to pick up.
Yeah, he gut-wrenched him, too. That was a great match. Oh, and he gave him that fucking Dominator thing that he does, too.
And Kali counted the pin with the ref when he got
I am done getting lifted up. This is very painful.
Kali needs to retire. He can't move. He couldn't move before, but now he really can't move.
Did he hurt his knees or something?
I don't know. I think he's just old and tall.
Yeah. That's all a dye job. He's like super gray underneath all that black dye.
Do you ever Do you ever listen to MLW, Cassidy?
No.
Your boy Conan's on there, and I think you would enjoy him a lot.
Oh, man.
All he ever does Conan's is get awesome. High and talk shit.
Yeah, that's why I love him, man. He's just... He burns it. Talk about burning fucking bridges. He makes his own company so he can burn his name bridges.
AAA is still okay with him.
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, he's... yeah, that's true. But, I mean, isn't his... He owns the other company, though, right? He's part of management or, like, ownership of one of the Mexican wrestlers.
Yeah, he's part of management on AAA, and then so he just buries CMLL a lot.
Right, that's it, yes. Yeah,
but AAA is trying to expand into the United States.
Yeah.
And that would be pretty awesome if that meant that they'd bring La Parca back up.
Yeah, La Parca comes around here sometimes. We have Lucha Vaboom. I don't know if you guys got that.
We don't have them around here, but I know that.
Oh, yeah. We had Lucha Vaboom come here a couple times, and Parca was, I think he was on the top of the bill. He's awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. La Parca's always been one of my favorite Mexican dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
The Mexicools, remember the Mexicools? They came out on Juan Deers.
But yeah, it's just called...
Since we're talking about fucking racist stereotypes, have you guys seen the El Matadors yet?
Yeah.
No, not really.
Well, the problem is they're Puerto Rican.
Oh.
Yeah, and they're doing a Mexican gimmick. And they have, and of course they have a little midget bull because it's Vince McMahon and El Torito is the only Spanish he knows.
Yeah, I did see the little bull thing, like a little minotaur or something, like what?
Mm-hmm.
Is this like a Greek thing? Is this kind of like how Theros is Greek? I don't get it, I don't know.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. But yeah, MLW Radio has Conan on all the time, so it's pretty good. Not that you have time to, I guess you could just play it in the store, you don't care.
I don't. I wouldn't be able to hear it, though, honestly.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm getting bugged all day by people who want to know about magic cards and shit. Like, that's the wrong word, but you know what I mean.
The only place we haven't hit so far then is Japan. And I will say that if you can find Tanahashi against Okada, that is a really good match.
Oh, okay.
That happened, I think, after the G1.
Is Alex Shelley still out there?
I think so. I think he still does New Japan.
Yeah, New Japan. Because Chris Sabin's was the champion for 5 minutes. I don't know if he still is a TNA, but he won the belt or something for 5 minutes.
Well, I mean, for whatever reason, the belts still matter in New Japan. Like, they'll have the junior heavyweight and then the IWGP heavyweight, and people both care about both of them. And they even have a junior tag. Yeah, but it looks like Alex Shelley's still in New Japan.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, I mean, All Japan's pretty much dead, and so is Noah. So New Japan is the best. Japanese Federation now.
What about Dragon Gate?
It's still there, but I don't know. Like, you just don't hear as much about it.
Yeah. Wow. Noah had a lot of really good wrestlers on it. I wonder what happened.
I don't know. Like, they had some Yakuza things going on.
Okay. Yeah.
And when Kobashi finally retired and whatnot, I'm sure that made a drop. And I don't even know. I wonder how Kenta's doing now.
Yeah. Exactly. Kenta was Noah. That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
I don't think, he hasn't been in Ring of Honor for a while, I don't think.
Yeah.
Do they still trade with Noah and whatnot?
I don't know, I'm pretty out of the loop, but I haven't seen a Japanese wrestler on Ring of Honor since I watched it, you know. Yeah.
I've been watching the TV where they just, chop up the IPPVs and put it in, hour-long segments.
That's cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, they have it on their site, you just sign up and you can watch it. It's usually, a week or two behind, but it doesn't matter.
That's cool.
Yeah, wow. I think the tag champs are Eddie Kingston in a clown mask and some other dude in a clown mask.
Really? Yeah. Dude, Eddie Kingston can kick some ass. That dude is motherfucking awesome. That back fist, it just looks like he would knock your ass.
Yeah. So I've watched that a little bit. So I've gotten to see a lot of Michael Elgin, who's the weirdest looking dude.
Yeah,
he's built to crap, but then he has a bald mullet.
I remember when he showed up, I'm like, what is with this guy? He just looks way too generic for this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He seems to do alright. I've been liking Tommaso Ciampa a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but he's been looking good. Steen always looks good.
Yeah.
It's impossible for... And he just, I don't know, he wrestles in a t-shirt and shorts. And he's just
he's not even doing the singlet anymore?
No. Nah. Just gym shorts, mesh shorts and a t-shirt. when he dressed up, he was wearing a tuxedo t-shirt for something.
Oh, dude, that's what I wore to Christmas yesterday. So.
Yeah, Steen, I don't know. Steen's great, but I forgot what I was going to say. All right, we've talked about wrestling enough, I guess. EDH. Yeah. So a bunch of new legends came out since I've been playing. Like all the Theros dudes and all the Commander dudes. Have you guys been seeing much of them, and which ones do you hate?
Let's see.
Gudong hates the bird guy. Like, he thought Nekusar was going to be the worst thing on Earth, but apparently the bird one's been more broken.
Well, the problem is that Nekusar is Grixis, and the other one's Bant. And Bant is as big a problem as Esper is, almost, so...
Yeah.
Yes, Derevi is a pain in the ass to deal with. And out of the recent ones from the Commander product, it is the one that I personally hate the most. Mm-hmm. Alora's annoying as well, but it's more like Alora's annoying in the... There's an enchantment on the field, but I have no enchantment destruction kind of way.
Yeah, exactly. Damn it, can't deal with that at all.
I'm going to have to eat this one up. And Derevi is annoying in the, okay, kill that thing. Oh, it's back. Okay, kill that thing. Okay, it's back. All right, you know what? I'm not going to kill it anymore. Pacify that thing. Oh, you've got a blink effect and it's back. All right, how's about I tuck up? Nope, counter. Yeah, counter. Well, there's all my answers. Anybody? Yep. Anybody else? You got
Green Suns for four? Damn it.
Green Suns for four.
Damn it.
I remember when I saw the card spoiled, I'm like, this is a great, great ability, and they didn't put it on anything that matters too much. Apparently he matters too much.
I think it's the Bant colors more than anything else, man, honestly. And having a reliable creature, it's like that whole, uber tempo thing where you're always going to have a creature on four, pretty much always, so you can... Your swords are always going to be awesome, that sort of thing. So, it's pretty problematic just because of the colors, in my opinion, honestly.
So, what do you guys think have been the most pathetic out of the Commander product, then?
The
besides Shattergang
one?
Brothers?
Oh, the Shattergangs are awesome.
No, Shattergang's cool, man.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, they're really cool.
Like, with the mana costs and the material costs necessary, I wasn't sure if it was going to be good or not.
Yeah, there's enough tokens.
Yeah, what you do basically is for the creature part you run tokens, for the enchantment part you run Rancor. There we go. Yeah, you run like Rancors and stuff, so you have an enchantment always blow up, and as far as like artifacts, you just find something that you can always just kind of recur.
Or you can
so there's always like
artifact token creature tokens like mirrors and stuff.
Yeah.
And you can kill
a lot. Or you could use Sword of the Meek. Just drop like a 1/1 token, sword comes back, now you got a creature and an artifact to explode. He's perfectly fine. The one that I would say that probably has just completely gone to the wayside is, what was it, the Honored One? Jahidi, something like that. The Naya one that wasn't a Morath.
Yeah, Morath is much better. You know what else actually I think is pretty bad is I think Jelava ended up being much worse than everyone was expecting, because everyone was excited to build a Nivalia Scourge deck, the one that exiles and mills and can play it and stuff, but since every time she dies, she loses the exiled cards, it's kind of like having a 1/3 creature that keeps costing more and never does anything slightly milieu. So, that's the thing I've noticed is everyone was super excited about that, and then I think that's probably just because she was available longer. You know, her and Krosh were spoiled so much before everyone else. Everyone was getting excited. And then they're like, Nekuzar is much better. I think I'll just go with Nekuzar,
Yeah. Wheel of Fortune's become really good.
Yeah. I already have I'm a Grim Wheel of Fortune deck, so Nekuzar is a better general even than I had, which was Gwendolyn DeCorchi.
Gwendolyn DeCorchi.
Yeah, she used to be my general, but it's like, I think Nekuzar is a little better.
Yeah,
it's just too bad. Mindseize is we're selling ours for $60, and that's lower than what you can get it in most places. So that's the downside of all that. The downside of the whole thing in general is that fucking what's that thing called?
True Name Nemesis.
Yeah.
Do you think they'll end up banning that guy?
Nah.
I don't know. Usually people don't just jump on a card like that, but I think it'll I don't know if people are just going to bitch and get it banned or if they'll actually try to beat it.
I feel like if True Name Nemesis ever actually were to get banned, it mainly would be due to just, like, continuous bitching. But I'm talking about, like, bitching on scales of epic proportions. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm talking about, like, more than Sensei's Divining Top bitching. I'm talking, like, Sensei's Divining Top meets Soul Ring levels of bitching.
Are you talking about EDH or in Legacy?
In Legacy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, in Legacy? Yeah. Inevitably, I could easily see him going up on.
Yeah,
on
we don't care about EDH Legacy. Bans.
Yeah, I was confused because it's not great in
Nah,
Legacy.
It's terrible in EDH, if you ask me.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's what I said. Like, I thought we were talking about EDH.
Yeah.
We are in an EDH show. I can't fault you.
Yeah,
look at me trying to be the one who's trying to stay on topic.
So, now that we talked about the ones that are dicks and the ones that are dumb, which ones do you like to play?
Prosh.
Well, Prosh is good too, yeah. I like Necrozar a lot because it was easy. Like, that deck is already built, basically, so you just need Moot General. I'd like to review a lot, like, for the, for just, like, the technical implications. Like, there's a lot of cool stuff going on, you know. I just like the fact that there's so much going on with the command zone in general, you know. There's a lot, like, how much they cost and how many, playing it straight from your command zone or just gaining life from your command zone. Like, that's all cool. Rune of the, I didn't mention it, but Rune, the other Bant one, he's so bad. Compared to Derivi too, so that's another.
The blinking rhino.
Yeah. He's a rhino.
Old blinking ass rhino.
Yeah, and he's got this colorful ass art, and you're just like, I'm so bored of you already, dude. I can't even remember who the other guy in Esper is. What the fuck is it?
Sidri Galvanic.
Oh, yeah. Sidri's actually pretty cool. Kind of like, I did an article the other week, and I just took everyone's, like, submissions on TCG player for Sidri decks, and a lot of people had some pretty cool ideas. And not many people were doing the whole obvious Michael Synth Lattice into fuck up all your lands for a blue, you know?
Yeah.
That was nice to see. Like, that was my first thought. Like, oh, great, it's a Karn that gets to be in the most ridiculous colors there is. But it's not so bad. I saw one deck where I was playing, like, Eon Hubs and Knowledge Pool and shit like that. Just, like, really griefy big artifacts. Because you can turn them into creatures, so why not?
Yeah.
Bam.
Yeah, it looks like they all, like, a lot of them have looked nifty, but I don't know. Like, I want to wait until people stop playing them online before I pick them up, maybe. And then, I don't know. Of course, that would mean I'd actually have to log into MTGO again, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't done that. And no one, who really wants to do that?
Yeah, it's been a while. I think
Aloro
is the one I get to see played more often than anyone else. I think, like, everyone was kind of waiting for an Esper General that has dimension to it, that it doesn't, like, oh, I just play artifacts, I win, you know, that's how half the Esper Generals basically are. You know, I think in Bant, like, Derivi is powerful, but you have, like, you have freaking Rafik to contend against, and I've killed people on turn 4 with Rafik super easy, so I'm gonna hold back on me being too hard on Derivi.
Yeah,
you know, when it came to Jund, I think Jund just, like, you know, I think Jund is for players who want to do whatever they want anyways. So there's just weird ass Jund generals for whatever you want to do at this point. None of them seem better than the other, you know.
Got a new frame care keep though.
Yeah.
So would you rank this? Would you guys rank this one above the other commander set, or is it even or? I mean, the other commander set was more groundbreaking, I guess, just because we hadn't seen something like it before. But I feel like these ones are more interesting as opposed to overtly powerful.
I don't know about that, just because the wedges is what I'm more interested in. I think giving us more shard generals is kind of besides the point for what we need as a player base. Like,
yeah.
Like I said, like, we have Rafik, you know. We only have 3 American generals at this point. 3 bug generals at
America.
America, right, exactly. So it's like, I would rather have those kind of things again. You know, Grixis, giving us more Grixis generals and more Bant and Esper generals is cool because they did end up being interesting. But I think that the first set was more interesting just because they were Wedge.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like,
And so you didn't have to play Newmont anymore?
Yeah, exactly. You didn't have to play Newmont or Voroth or Vorosh anymore. You know, you had some fucking options. Even Rug, too. I think there's only 3 Rug generals, too, right? Oh, no, there's also Males from Wanderer. But that fucking came after.
From Rondor.
Yeah. So I think that the old ones are more interesting merely because of the type of colors they used. But the new ones were definitely more, you know, they knew what they were doing with Commander, and they had way more ideas, I'm sure, brewing over the last couple of years. So there is that.
Yeah. Well, me personally, like, I look at the original one, and there's quirks and things about the original one that I just look at, and I'm like, I enjoyed this product so much that when I'm looking at the current one, if it doesn't hit, like, what I was expecting, I kind of felt, like, a little, like, sad. Not saying that the new products aren't good, but... Like, for instance, like, the original one, like, you know, you got, like, 2 new commanders, but you also got, like, the extra, like, double color one, who wasn't really, like, an actual commander for the deck, but each deck had, like, you know, one, like, kind of smaller guild commander in it that was new.
And when like, Vishkal or Hetzik.
Yeah, and, like, when we got these, then, you know, there wasn't, like, something similar to that in there. Like, I'd have settled if there was, like, 5 new mono-colored commanders in there. I'd have been fine with that. But, you know, we just got, like, but, you know, they gave us the portals, the Portal 3 Kingdom characters.
Mm-hmm.
And not all of the decks got one. I don't know, what was it, Marauf was the only one that didn't get one, I think it was. And everybody else got, like, at least one Portals legend. Because, like, the Marauf, the only legends that were in that one were the actual 3 main commanders.
Yeah. They didn't get that. They might have gotten, like, a reprinted P3K, like, sorcery though, didn't they? I thought. No.
It might have been like a P3K like sorcery, but or something like that. But as far as like commanders, it was like those are the only 3 options.
Right. Yeah. They
and
did,
like I
they
talked
did
about it.
Sorry. Go ahead.
You know, I was talking about like before, like how like the other decks is like if you took the 3 commanders, you could make a deck. You could make 3 different decks in those colors, right? So like you know, you take this. Yeah, you could make a. Deck with Marauf, you can make one with the Honored One, and you can make one with Anima. But after that, there was no other, like, thing. So it's not like you could, like, take a legend out of this and make a mono-green deck or a mono-red deck or mono-white or any other of those color combinations. You basically kind of got stuck playing just 3 copies of the same deck. But, like, with the other ones, like, even if you've got the Honored Physician from you got the Honored Physician from, what was it, the Jund deck?
Yeah, it was in Jund.
Yeah, so you could at least be like, oh, well, I've got 3 Jund decks and a mono green deck. So you at least had an option to try to, you know, stay within the color, but stretch out into, like, a different category. Which is, like, one of the few things about this particular one I didn't like. But in the same token, like, we got tons of cool things, and I got a quote-unquote fixed doubling season.
Yeah.
So, you know, can't complain about that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I think the choice of cards was cool in this one too. Like, I like the fact that they reprinted Avenger, even though it's a really stupidly powerful card. I just didn't have any anymore, so I was like, cool. And Karmic Guide is one of the best white cards ever. So like having more of those available is just happy for me because I would love to have one in every single white deck, you know, with a Rebel Arc in it. Like, yep, I'm set, you know. So I like a lot of the cards that they chose to reprint. I thought the Baleful Strix was one of the funniest fucking reprints ever. Like, everyone's had, like, had, you know, busting a nut over this $23 card, and now they're reprinting it, and it's like, well, how much is it going to be now? I'm so confused. You know?
I like that, because Baleful Strix is a good card, but it shouldn't be a card that you have to spend a lot of money on.
Exactly, yeah, it's cool. And I'm also happy that I didn't trade for anymore. Like I picked up a few sleeper agents because they're shardless agents
because
they've come in, but I didn't lose any money on those. That's pretty nice.
I'd say I like the new one better because Edric wasn't in it.
Yeah,
that's my entire reasoning, and I stand by it. Okay, I do want to
have Edric, but we did get Drevi.
That's true.
Yeah, right.
I'm gonna take a bit of a turn because another set did come out while I wasn't playing. And that is Theros, and I have heard some words about how it's kind of ridiculous that everybody can have a general that's just an indestructible enchantment sitting there now. And has that really been that prevalent in games you guys have seen, or have people stayed away from the gods?
I think the only one that would be worth using is Porporos. just because he has a pretty good static ability. But I haven't really seen it happening. Even with monocolor decks, people would rather not use the gods, because they just, so often they're not creatures, and it's so easy to board wipe over and over again. So yeah, it's not as broken as you would think. There's way more broken things going on in Theros, I think,
yeah,
than the gods, honestly. What do you think, Calvin?
Yeah, well, like, I personally haven't seen like any of them ever actually like show up in play. Mm-hmm. In the short time span from whence they came out up until this point of recording, I've seen them in play in other formats. I've come up against them in casual 60 cards, and I've come up against them at like pre-releases and at sealed events. But I think I've seen one Purphoros in one deck, but that was only but he was only really there for like the whole tokens aspect anyway. So.
Right.
It didn't really, it's not like he wasn't there to be the god card. He was there to be an enchantment that burnt everyone when creatures came into play.
I will say Erebos is really good, though, because most of the time can't gain life cards affect all players equally, but Erebos only affects your opponents. So I definitely think Erebos has been really, really good. Although I think the whip of Erebos might be even better. So.
Yeah, I was going to say the god's weapons, I think, just look really sweet. But I've got a thing for like
whips.
Legendary enchanted weapons and whatnot.
Yeah, for sure.
Like Hammer Purphoros is sweet.
Well, you know, speaking of Hammer Purphoros, that's a great card for the Shattergang Brothers, because the golems that it makes are all three artifact creatures and enchantments. So you can sacrifice a land to have an all-purpose killing tool, basically, in that deck. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I think actually the more broken cards from Theros come from some of the dual color cards. The Prophet of Krufix, primarily. Like, talk about Bant being too powerful. Excuse me.
That thing, that the stupid thing has flash, doesn't it too?
I don't know if it has flash itself, but it definitely gives it to other creatures. It might have. I don't think it has it itself, though.
Nah, it looks like it doesn't.
Okay, yeah. But, I mean, it's a Seedborn Muse. Everyone hates Seedborn Muse in the first place, and it's just... Yeah. I mean, like...
Seedborn Muse.
Yeah. What?
I said Seedborn Muse sucks.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you said, what's that? And me and Cassie were like, what? Why wouldn't you want a Seedborn Muse that lets you play whatever all the time?
It's basically a time walk every turn. It's
so is the Prophet of Krufix brought Momir Vig back into the forefront of blue-green decks?
It could be. I haven't seen a lot of blue-green decks, actually. Actually, there's a Zagana deck that uses the Prophet of Krufix, but I haven't seen Momir Vig in a long time.
Everybody's too busy stroking their three colors.
Yeah, I think so. Everyone wants to play Band and shit, you know.
Because that just looks like Vig the creature.
Yeah, he basically is.
Like, Seedborn Muse was already the most used card in Vig anyway, so why not have one where you can just cast all your dudes in on everybody's turns, too?
Well, Vig and Teferi, and we're talking about putting them together, basically, so, yeah.
I'd forgotten about that guy.
Yeah. The other major card that doesn't get a lot of talk about, but is ridiculous... is Metami the Ancient, or the Ageless. Have you guys seen that guy at all? The Sphinx that hits you and takes an extra turn?
Nope.
Yeah, he's 6 to cast, blue-white, legendary Sphinx. When he hits you, you take another turn, but then he can't attack during extra turns. But, like, I just put him in my Rafik deck, and he double strikes and gives me 2 extra turns to kill you with Rafik. So, like... I haven't built a single blue-white deck without a Metami in it, even standard decks. And he's just been so good, and he's so cheap, too. He's like a buck now, so.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
I wonder what makes him so popular. Or, like, I mean, I can understand the extra turn process, but, the people that I usually end up playing with mostly, we've just kind of, like, we sat down and we talked about it and we talked about it and we talked about it and we tried to determine whether or not it was worth actually dealing with before he showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And I just couldn't seem to get, because like he can't attack on any extra turns. So even if you cast like a time stretch, mm-hmm. he's kind of screwed for 2 turns. He's not doing anything.
Yeah.
And was like, I kept explaining to him, I was like, you're going to have a card that gives you an extra turn and a deck that gives you extra turns that can't attack on the extra turn. So he gives you one if you don't have anything else. But the moment you start taking extra turns, he's, yeah, but like, you know, like, cause it's just one of those things, like the more we talked about it and realized like what he does and how it doesn't, like how he like works contradictory to the deck that you kind of want him in.
Mm-hmm.
We just couldn't think of anywhere else to put him.
Yeah, fair enough. I think if it wasn't Urafeek deck where I was giving him double strike, I probably wouldn't care as much, but just the double strike. And even if it's just taking regular extra turns where you're not doing anything but playing an extra land or drawing an extra card, like, that's still really high quality, you know what I mean? Like, when you're talking about...
Like a double strike.
Yeah,
you give him double strike and gives you two extra turns.
Yes, sir.
Right?
I do that all the time. Excuse me.
Well, on the plus side, this does make me want to play a little bit more, so maybe I'll actually do some of that tonight. Or not.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, now that I think about it, combine him with a red deck so you can be able to take extra combat phases.
Yeah.
And you connect with him twice in one turn, and you get four extra turns just for smashing with him once.
Hey, that's a Ruhan deck you just described, man. Like, how awesome is it to attack with Ruhan two extra times? Like, I hope you have a bunch of extra blockers, because this is enough to kill you in one hit.
That would be pretty nifty. So have you guys felt better about the game as these sets have come out, or is it the same? Because, I don't know, things felt stagnant a little while back.
Yeah.
Or it's not like Return to Ravnica didn't give us a ton of new legends, but for whatever reason, they just didn't seem to make much of an impact.
Yeah, I think the Return to Ravnica block probably sees the most new generals. Like, I think the thing is that there were so many new generals that's all you saw anymore. Like, mm-hmm. That's kind of how I felt about it. Like, I don't want to see Vorel anymore. He's terrible. Please get someone else besides Vorel, you know what I mean? I don't know.
The only one I have.
Yeah, right. I don't have a Zagana. I don't know if it's made it, like, less or more, like, interesting, maybe. I think Standard's gotten way more interesting because you can get away, actually, like, monocolor decks are the best decks in the format right now, and I think that's really cool.
Pro players seem to bitch about that because, like, they want monocolor to not be good for whatever reason, but that's my perfect idea of Standard is when monocolor decks are good.
Well, they complain too because you'll fucking lose to basically one card, which is either Gray Merchant slash, what's the red one? The Fanatic Amogus. Like, oh yeah, I just did 9 damage to you, and you there's nothing, there's no recourse at all. I still have a creature to attack with you, so that's one.
And I'm like, you know what? I'm killing it. Whip it back.
Yeah. Whip it good. Exactly. Yep. That's actually my standard deck right now is white-black devotion. So I can play with
I will say I was a big fan of Master of Waves for a while, but he seems to be a little overdone now.
Yeah. I mean, that's the other color is blue is mono blue devotion, and that deck's a pain in the ass. When it comes to EDH, though, I don't know if it's really changed too much for me. It's given me more to work with, and Theros definitely has, like, a lot of cool cards in it. But, I mean, my decks really haven't changed in a while, so I haven't seen any generals that have really made me want to, like, take apart my old decks and put them together. On the other side, though, I still don't have a lot of the new generals, because even though I sell them at my store, I can't afford them, personally. I can't afford to buy them from my store, so... I've only picked up whatever people will trade in, so I'm getting there. But as much as I like the new generals, probably Aloro is the only one that's really calling at me too much. I do have a Shattered Gang Brother deck that I've halfway built, but you know I just haven't gotten to it. I guess that kind of shows that I'm not super interested in it. And I think that does come back to the same thing where it's like, yeah, it's a new Esper general, but it's still the same thing, you know. I'm still getting killed by, like, Sanguine Bond and Exquisite Blood, so it's still still the same shit on a different day, I'd say, you know.
Mm-hmm. Me, personally, I actually got a chance to get a hold of all 5 decks. And I still have, what is it? I've got the Bant one open, I've got the Jund one open, and I've got the Naya one open. Mm-hmm. The other two I still have yet to actually open. Due to the fact that I haven't had the free time or sleeves to sleeve them up to actually play them.
Yeah.
Because I kind of want to play them like as is out the box first. and then determine where I want to go with them. So I still have the Grixis and Esper one nicely sealed and wrapped up, waiting for me to get around to actually having the free time to open them.
You should just keep that Grixis one sealed, because who knows what that's going to be worth. That one's ridiculous right now. It's so expensive. And the Esper one's actually the other one that they charge more for usually, which I don't really understand. There's nothing slightly interesting in that deck, but whatever.
I have no idea what it is. Like, all I know is that, like, the only card in that box is the True Name Nemesis that anyone even slightly wants from me.
Yeah.
It's like, I could easily, like, just crack this open, take that True Name to a shop, and probably just walk out with, like, another deck worth of cards.
Yeah. I really just want a Nekusar, and it's a bummer I can't get one. Honestly, like, it's a really pain in my ass. I'm using a big one that someone traded to me as my general right now, because I can't get a normal side card.
Nekusar came in. Which one of the boxes did he come in?
He's in Grixis. He's the one that deals damage. He's like a Underworld Dreams, basically, on a stick. So, that's the downside of the expensive box. Is like, I just want to pick it up for like the few cards that are not worth shit in there. But at the same time, I could just spend $2 and order it from TCG Player. So mostly, it's a lazy thing.
TCGPlayer.com.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's good to hear from y'all. Thank you. All right, well, kids, well, you just survived episode 50 of Love Color Cast. Maybe you'll hear 51 in 6 months. Who knows?
I hope so. That sounds awesome. 6 month schedule is something we could definitely keep.
Yeah, right. Then I'd be like, man, having to do this every 6 months feels so awful.
Oh, man, twice a year?
Twice a year.
Oh, God.
Man, it's too much. Yeah, anyway, I'd probably recommend not emailing the show at offcolorcast@gmail.com. Because we're not very good at checking it, because we don't do the show much.
Yeah.
Why don't you just hit us on Twitter? Well, hit me on Twitter, @ChristianRenau. That's probably the best way to contact me. And let's let Cassidy say goodbye.
Okay, goodbye, everyone. Unlike Christian, you don't want to catch me on Twitter, because I... now that it doesn't tell me I reach a Twitter on my phone, like, I just don't check it at all. So, and I haven't been on Facebook in a couple months either, so if you want to catch me... You can email me at my TCG Player email address, which is fatstacksedh@gmail.com.
Dongsucker@gmail.com. Yeah.
No, that's just the password. I took butt dong for one of the porn sites I'm on, by the way. So.
Do you spell it with an S or a G?
Z. Yeah, totally.
Oh, man, that's the best one.
Yeah, and I'm the white duckler on another one. So.
Wait, which site's this?
I don't know, man. They say my name.
XNXX.com.
Maybe Emporium is that one?
XNXX is pretty good, but it's just like a front end for X videos.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I do the torrents mostly. Mm. Like, I don't have a good internet connection.
Yeah, I stick with the tube sites. I didn't know Emporium was still around. They were shut down for a while.
Yeah, they were. And it was a really big bummer, but they're back, and it's, got a lot of content and a lot of users, so there's a lot of sharing and stuff.
That's good. Maybe I'll get back on it then. Get my seeding up.
Yep. My seeding's pretty. I'm almost up to one even ratio.
The worst is like you try to find the top thing and just grab it so you can get your seed up.
Yeah.
It's usually something like something terrible.
Yeah, it's something like stupid.
Black guys and stuff.
Oh man, black guys in porno. I wrote a whole comedy bit about that.
But yeah, check it. I think check it's dead.
Yeah, Checkit's dead. Yeah, it died recently. Pornbay is okay. It's pretty low user count, so like they'll bitch at you about your ratio, and it's like, I don't know what to tell you, man. No one wants to download shit.
Like, actually, like, I was using IsoHunt just for public porn, and it's dead.
Yeah.
Pirate Bay still... Well, Pirate Bay just changes their domain, like...
Yeah, they change it different... They change it to different, like, servers out of country, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
That's usually what the .me and stuff is like.
They're on .sx by now.
Okay, yeah.
All right, that's enough about that, kids.
Yeah, that's how you contact me, and then all my normal things. Come into the store.
Yeah, if you're in the greater Chicago area, I don't know, are you in the greater Chicago area?
Yeah, definitely.
You feel like touching yourself to Cassidy?
We're actually by the hip mall, the Harlem Irving Park Mall, and right next to Rolling Stone Records, which is a really famous record store that's still around. That's usually what we tell people. Yeah, come on out, play some EDH. We're really trying to get Standard and Draft going, too, so that we can get free packs from Watsy. So all the help is great. And, we're also on TCG Player. I only have, like, 10 cards listed because that's all they'll give you at first, but... please buy from us. Yes.
Are you listing the Grixis decks on there?
What?
Are you listing the Grixis decks on there?
No, I have two Goblin Settlers on there, which is pretty cool. I picked those up, like... I actually got a Temporal Manipulation out of a dude's, like, Common Chef when he traded me his whole thing, so that just sold. Mostly expensive stuff. Like stuff that's like $80 or more, because I need to make money now. And if you're trying to sell 10 5-cent cards or dollar cards, like, yeah, they'll sell, but this is gonna take a while, guys.
Yeah. Okay, and why don't you say goodbye here, Calvin? Take us on home.
Okay, everybody, this is Calvin. I'm also known as Captain Resident on the internet. If you want to contact me, you can always go over to Twitter, Captain Resident at Twitter. You can always go to Twitter, and that's at Captain Resident, or you can hit me in an email, CaptainResident@gmail.com. You can find me on Facebook. I'm over there, Captain Red Zone. Anywhere you type in Captain Red Zone that's even slightly sociable, you can find me there. If you want to go over to, like, XXX.com, I'm pretty sure you'll be able to, you know, chat me up there. I'll be touching myself to your profile pics, but, you know, what else?
Captain Red Dick.
That's right. You can always catch me on Commander Cast now too. Also, so yeah. If you really just want to hear, like, if you really just want to hear me sit back and do the best that I can not to be perverted and trying to do what I can to be all like choir boyish, you can go there.
That's hilarious. I have to listen to Commander Cast again because it sounds like you're trying really hard to make something happen.
Yeah, this been like, you know, just check out Commander Cast and you'll see me trying the best that I can to keep my profanity down to as much as possible.
All right, kids.
And I think since I started editing, only like one fuck XD slipped past me.
Oh, you actually cut him out post edit, dude? You actually cut him out in editing? Oh, that's
I put the Zoidberg Maelstrom Wanderer whoop whoop beep thing that they have up there.
Have you used Truncate Silence yet? Have you used Truncate Silence in Audacity?
Oh, hell yeah. It's one of our favorite tools. But the fucked up part is I didn't learn about it until like until the last episode that we did.
Yeah, I didn't learn about it until I was almost done doing the stupid thing.
I'm sitting looking like,
what that is, actually.
It searches for any spirit spots of dead air and just gets rid of them.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's what I said.
This would have made our job so easy. Jesus.
Exactly. It's like you just click the damn thing, and it's like, hey, you know, here's these spots of dead air. How long do you want them to be? And you're like, wait a second. I can actually just say, like, make this less than half a second. And it's like, yep. And it's like, click. Oh, my God.
I wonder if Andy knew about that and just didn't want to tell us. I don't know. I'll keep in my pocket.
I've been listening to Stone Cold's show because it's been pretty good lately. And he was talking about how he lost a show with Jim Cornette because it only recorded the Cornette's half because he had just, instead of doing it like they had been, he was on Skype. And I was just thinking, oh, Stone Cold. So I sent him an email and said, why don't you use MP3 Skype recorder?
Yeah, come on, man.
And he sent one back, and he's like, the people at Podcast One have me put something new on my Mac. And I'm like, using a Mac, Stone Cold, what are you doing?
Well, that's cool that he actually got back to you, or at least someone in the organization.
Yeah, the show is not bad, but then, like, I don't know. Like, Jericho just came out with a new one, too, and it's sort of getting, like, magic, where Cornette, Jericho, and Stone Cold all have shows, and they just have, like, they just have each other on them right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it's almost like the magic scene where it's they're all just getting the same. And then Cabana just gets whoever because he's getting the people nobody hears about anyway.
Oh, yeah, he's got the real show.
Yeah.
But that's funny. Huh. Well, you know what? That's kind of cool, though, because it might come to the fact where WWE recognizes podcasting as being important and wants Colt to do something for them.
Well, Colt was just back down there on an announcing gig again, an announcing tryout.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh man, he'd be a great announcer.
And that's like he said. He said that it's fine now going down there because he doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
So like if they take him, fine. If they don't, that's fine too.
That's good. I mean, the last time I remember Steen was with his awesome year long feud with Generico after the feud. You know, so like he's got to be just lonely because Generico's gone and done better things. Like I bet Jannetty has always been like, God damn you, Michael. Michaels,
you know. I think Steen's better than Marty Jannetty though. Oh, yeah, Steve Corino was in Scum.
Oh, yeah. Well, Corino's still around, I'm sure, but he's probably not friends with Kevin Steen.
No. I think Corino's just doing announcing there now.
Oh, actually, Corino was on the fucking tag team with Kevin Steen during that feud. What am I talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just remembered that.
Yeah.
All right, kids, well,
yep.
Y'all have a good night. Maybe you'll hear from us again. Probably not. Who knows?
Yep.
You can always dream.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't cross your fingers.
Yeah.
You'll still get to hear Calvin. Yeah.
You fuck around, get like carpal tunnel waiting for us.
Oh wow, what are you doing while you're waiting?